Chapter 26. Oh, damn it, Skippy shouted. Unbelievable. How the hell did those idiots manage to do that? He sputtered. Unfreaking believable. What? I asked, alarmed. What's wrong? We had flown back up to the Dutchman with the Elder Power Tap, and as soon as the dropship was secured, the ship jumped away. I brought the Power Tap into Skippy's man cave. He said he didn't need to be that close, but the process of making it functional again would take almost half an hour. Less than 10 minutes after we brought the Power Tap aboard, Skippy began shouting. They broke it, Joe. Somehow, in spite of the Elder's efforts to idiot-proof their devices, these idiots managed to break it. What do you mean, broke, Skippy? I looked out the hatchway of the escape pod where Chotek, Chang, Sims, Smythe, Adams, Giroux, and Friedlander and others were crowded into the hallway, craning their necks to see what was going on. We know that it doesn't work. That's why we were able to get it. A functional power tap could never have been picked up by an ARD ship based on a simple message. Go ahead and fix it. I can't, you moron, Skippy said angrily. Don't you think I would do it if I could? The only thing wrong with this power tap was that it needed to be rebooted, but somehow the stupid, stupid Theranin managed to truly break it. They screwed with it and broke it for real. Okay, I said quietly. But you can still fix it, right? You can get it working again. No, Joe, he said disgustedly. If I could do that, I wouldn't be so upset. It would be easier for me to build a new power tap than to get this one working again. Oh. Can you do that? Of course not, you dum-dum. To create Elder technology like that, I would need to access Elder technology that no longer exists in this galaxy. As far as I know, it doesn't. Unlike human technology, the Elders didn't make everything out of mud and sticks. We're screwed. No way can I fix this piece of junk. Damn it. This was all for nothing, then? Chotek asked, astonished. Yes, Skippy said. No, I protested, not willing to believe we had failed after all we had gone through. Chotek looked at me. If this thing doesn't work, Colonel, how is this trip not for nothing? I don't know yet, I answered lamely. Surely they can't all be broken, Chang asked. No, Skippy said grumpily. I think whatever experiments the Theranin have been running somehow damaged this one. Any power tap they ran that experiment on would be broken. The power tap's connection to... I'd better not tell you monkeys about that. The problem is, without access to ARD records, there is no way to know how many of these things they screwed with and broke. I have to say, he mused, it is actually impressive that a low-tech species like the Theranin managed to affect a power tap in any way. It had to be dumb luck. No way are those little green men capable of understanding the principles of how this technology works. We can get another one, Sims suggested. Chotek shook his head. We don't have time, and I think the Advanced Research Directorate would become suspicious if we try that delivery trick again. As much as I hate to say it, Skippy grumbled, Count Chocula is right. After that ship dropped off the power tap here, it was scheduled to visit 7 other ARD installations, and then it was stopping at an ARD administrative depot for resupply. That will happen in about 2 months. As soon as that ship reports that it delivered a power tap here, there are going to be a whole lot of uncomfortable questions being asked by ARD headquarters, and they're going to be sending ships to Jumbo. They are also going to be tightening their procedures. We won't be able to simply order an ARD ship to do our shipping for us. Will that cause a problem for us? Chotek was alarmed. If the Saranen are somehow able to trace the delivery message back to us, that will not be a problem, Friedlander spoke up. Skippy and I discussed this before he sent the message. I suggested that he include hints that the order to deliver a power tap to Jumbo originated with one of the researchers on Jumbo, that one of them manipulated the situation because he or she wanted access to a power tap. I blinked slowly. Is that true, Skippy? Yep, just what the rocket scientist said. Chotek was as impressed as I was. When were you going to tell us about this? He demanded. There wasn't any reason to, Friedlander said simply, seeming surprised at the question. Yeah, Chocula, Skippy scoffed. A lot of stuff happens around here that you and Colonel Joe don't know about. The 6th Theranin on Jumbo. Chotek wasn't letting this go. They are all dead. Most assuredly, Skippy replied. In addition to the ones killed in the assault, the others died when the facility self-destructed. The computer locked the blast doors, so they couldn't escape. The ARD considers the information in their heads to be classified. They would never be allowed to fall into enemy hands. They were dead anyway. I looked at Chotek. Before the assault, he had expressed serious concerns that we were planning to deliberately kill civilians. At the time, I didn't have a good answer for him, other than that they were in the way and we needed the power tap to save thousands of humans on Paradise. Chotek looked at the deck for a moment, then at me. Colonel Bishop, we do not have time to attempt seizure of another power tap. Please set course back to the relay station. Seeing that I was going to protest, he added, I am sure that you and your people are tired. My suggestion is that you rest and approach the problem with fresh minds tomorrow. What he didn't say was the issue was closed. It was over. UNEF was stuck on Paradise, and we had no way to prevent the Ruhar from selling the planet out from under them. Joe, I have a question, Skippy said while I was in my office, which was a refreshing change from him bugging me in the shower while brushing my teeth or any other inconvenient moment. Supposedly, I was in my office to review reports on my tablet. In reality, I'd grown bored with that in about 3 minutes and was now playing solitaire, and losing every game. I told myself that Skippy had hacked into the solitaire program just to screw with me. I wasn't giving him the satisfaction of knowing it bothered me. Sometimes, if you were patient enough to ignore Skippy long enough, he went away. I'm asking now, he explained, because I can see you are super busy. Hey, these cards aren't going to arrange themselves. Truthfully, I had been racking my brain to think of an alternative way to prevent the Ruhar from trading away Paradise, and I had absolutely no useful ideas. Playing solitaire was a way to distract me from my failure. You're bored? There is no internet access here in interstellar space, but before we left Earth, I downloaded petabytes of porn. What's your interest? Let me guess. Clowns? Midgets? No porn, Skippy. Ah, lesbian midget clowns? I don't want any more porn, I shouted, just as Sergeant Adams walked in my open office door. She must have heard me, because her mouth was open in surprise. Ah, crap, I softly pounded my forehead on the table. Please just kill me now. Sir, she said warily, is this a bad time? Skippy spoke before I could. Joe is just bored with his usual porn selections. Hey, Sarge March, can you guess what Joe likes, Sergeant? I mumbled with my face planted on the desk. I hope you are here to report that our reactors are about to explode. Sir, I'll come back later when you're not so busy. Adams couldn't keep the mirth out of her voice. No problem, Skippy said cheerily. Sergeant Adams and I can continue this privately. So far, I've covered clowns and... Goodbye, Sergeant, I mumbled with a dismissive wave of a hand. Waiting a couple seconds, I looked up to see she had wisely departed. You had a question, Skippy? It had better not be about porn. No, Joe. This question is about slang I heard during the party when you went back to your hometown. I know that mow down is to eat a lot of food, and wicked is the same as very. What? That's not what wicked means. Joe, when something is very much a pisser, it is a wicked pisser, correct? Oh. I guess, sort of. Look, Skippy, there is a wicked lot you're missing. You have to grow up with it to understand. What is your question? I want the definition of douchebag. It's not the same as a jerk, is it? I ask because people at the party were saying that some guy is a D-bag, and they described him as more arrogant than boorish. Oh, man. I ran a hand over my head. First, that is originally a New England expression. It got totally corrupted when it started getting used in freaking Hollywood movies. A D-bag is a guy... Always a guy? Always a guy, never a woman. And this is a guy who is a jerk because he is so arrogant and totally into himself. So, a D-bag is a jerk because he's clueless about social norms? No, a D-bag isn't clueless about being a jerk. A D-bag does it deliberately. He knows he's a douchebag and he goes right ahead. Like, any guy who wears the collar of his polo shirt up or ties a sweater around his shoulders is borderline engaging in D-bag behavior. This is something better explained with an example. Let's say there's a guy who drives his Porsche to a restaurant. Do all douchebags drive Porsches? No, but that is a popular car for the aspiring douchebag. Men aspire to be a douchebag? Skippy asked incredulously. Sure. Guys don't think of it that way, but that's what they're doing. So this guy drives his Porsche to a restaurant, and he leaves the headlights on. That way, the waiter or someone will announce there is a Porsche outside with headlights on. Then the douchebag will loudly announce, "Oh, I have left on the lights of my Porsche. I have to go out to my Porsche and take care of that." Ah, I see. He is not only a jerk, he is a jerk in a socially awkward, pathetic, desperate attempt for attention, thus opening himself for understandable scorn and ridicule from society. "You got it," I agreed, thinking that Skippy himself may be an expert on social awkwardness. Bonus points if this guy has his collar up and ties a sweater over his shoulders. Oh yeah, a guy like that would be a hoffer. "A hoffer?" Skippy asked, confused. "You would be a shoo-in for the Douchebag Hall of Fame."
"There's a Hall of Fame for douchebags?" Skippy gasped.
"No, Skippy. I meant if there were such a Hall of Fame, that guy would have his picture right inside the front door."
"Wow, this is complicated."
"Human culture is complicated, Skippy, but you're catching on."
"Huh? Oh, I meant that the math problem I'm working on is complicated. You know that I multitask when I'm talking with you, Joe."
I sighed. "Great. Thank you, Skippy. Good talking with you too, Joe.
What were we talking about again?"
Still not having come up with an idea, I went to the gym. Playing solitaire hadn't given me an idea. Maybe lifting weights or running would help. It didn't work. I ended my workout soaked with sweat, with my brain still not cooperating. Sergeant Adams walked into the gym as I was leaving, and I stopped to talk with her. "It's our turn to cook the day after tomorrow. Do you have any ideas what to make for lunch?" "We were making chicken pot pie for dinner, plus a vegetable puff pastry thing that Sims had a recipe for." She tilted her head.
"We could make mock oyster soup. My grandmother used to make that," she laughed.
"Mock oyster soup?"
"My grandmother said when she was little her family went through some lean times, so her mother made mock oyster soup from eggplant and milk and crackers or something like that. There are no oysters in it. It's an old recipe. For us, it became a family joke."
I laughed at that. "And one time when we went camping, my father looked in the cooler and realized he had left a package of hot dogs at home. So we toasted the buns on a fire, put in a lot of cheese, onions, and mustard, and we had mock dogs." I was thinking of my father trying to convince us that lacking hot dogs, we could each eat two mock dogs instead. My mother was not amused, and my sister and I had been looking forward to grilling hot dogs over a fire all day. Even when my father brought out a bag of marshmallows to roast on the fire, we were not happy. We wanted hot dogs, and we were disappointed not to get them. When people decide that they want something, they are unhappy when it isn't available, like when my family was not going for mock dogs, or... Holy shit. An idea hit me right then, right there in the corridor. "Adams, excuse me." I ran down the corridor to Skippy's escape pod, foregoing a shower for the moment. Ducking down to crawl in the tiny door, I plopped myself across two of the two small seats. "Hey, Skippy." He made a sniffing sound. "You couldn't have showered first." "Whew," he said in disgust. "No time for a shower. I have an idea I need to discuss with you." "Does this idea involve you sealing yourself in a plastic bag to contain the monkey smell?" "No. First, I have a question. How do micro-wormholes work?" Silence. Then, "You've got to be kidding me, Joe. A micro-wormhole is simply a very small-diameter wormhole. You barely understand how shoelaces work, and you want me to explain a wormhole to you? Very funny. And yes, I do want you to explain it. You're super smart. Figure out a way to explain it to me. Joe, that is a mathematical question, and you don't speak that language. Hell, Friedlander barely speaks enough math for me to talk to him about..." "No math, then. Break it down for me Barney style. Sorry for ruining the joke for you." "I truly do not know where to start, Joe. You're asking me to explain the mechanics of what your species calls an Einstein-Rosen bridge. Why is it called that?" "Because," Skippy said slowly, like people do when explaining things to a toddler, "Albert Einstein and Nathan Rosen discovered the mathematical basis of..." "No, I figured that, Skippy. I meant, why is it called a bridge?"
"Oh, I think Einstein and Rosen used that term because such a construct carries an object from one place to another without going through the space between those two places. It's a shortcut. Like a bridge can carry a person from one side of a river to another without going through the river."
"But when you're going across a bridge, you can look down and see the river," I pointed out, proud of myself.
and it can take a long time to go across a bridge, so it's not really a shortcut, except it is faster than swimming, probably. If it's a bridge, why do you call it a wormhole?
I don't call it a wormhole. Your species calls it a wormhole, Joe. I'm just using the term...
When a worm makes a hole in the ground, I'll bet it seems like a really long way to the worm, I mused. The worm sure doesn't think of it as a shortcut.
Focus, Joey, focus. Please, please try to focus. Oh, this is impossible. Impossible!
He sobbed quietly.
Joe, I'm going to stop talking to you now, and instead, I will try explaining integral calculus to one of Major Sims's tomato plants in the hydroponics farm, because that will be a lot easier for me.
Uh-huh. The too small Theranin seat was digging into my butt cheek, so I laid down across the seats.
How about this? Didn't Einstein say that nothing could exceed the speed of light? Yet this ship travels faster than light.
No, it does not. I paused to think, wary of making an even bigger fool of myself.
We go from one star to another faster than light can get there, Skippy.
Yes, but we do not travel the distance between stars.
That puzzled me.
What's the difference?
We cheat, Joe. We have a traversable wormhole, which, as I said, your species calls an Einstein-Rosen bridge, to create a shortcut.
He cut off my next ignorant question. If you want me to attempt to explain this, then kindly shut your pie hole. The two ends of a micro-wormhole can be a light year apart in normal space, but going through a wormhole involves no distance at all. A wormhole creates a tunnel connecting two points in space, but the inside of the tunnel has no length at all. Think of a wormhole as a doorway. On one end of the doorway is Maine. The other side is in Australia. You go through the doorway faster than light could travel from your home to the land down under. Actually, the length of a wormhole tunnel is not zero, but that is not something I can explain to monkeys. That kind of knowledge is too dangerous.
Consider my mind blown, Skippy.
All right, forget explaining how wormholes work. Answer this question. I know that you can send radio signals and maser beams through a micro-wormhole. Can you feed power through one also?
Electrical power?
Sure, that's easy. It depends how much power you're talking about. Any micro-wormhole has a maximum throughput, and you'd have to be careful that the frequency of power transmitted does not match the micro-wormhole's natural frequency. That could quickly create a resonance that would collapse the wormhole. Why do you want to feed power through a micro-wormhole?
Skippy, maybe we don't need to offer an Elder Power Tap to the Ruha. Maybe we only needed them to think they had found an Elder Power Tap. A mock power tap.
I'm not following you, Joe. You mean we create a fake one like we did on Newark?
There have been plenty of inert power taps found across the galaxy. Only a functioning one would be valuable enough to make the Ruha want to retain control of Paradise. Besides, they would quickly analyze it and determine it is a fake.
If the power tap generated power, that would convince them that it is real?
You mean like we put a power cell inside the mock-up power tap?
That would only work until the power cell ran out. Also, the Ruha would scan it and see that it's a simple power cell.
I do not mean a power cell. I mean we hide a micro-wormhole inside our fake power tap, and we feed the Dutchman's reactor power through it.
And you project some kind of stealth field through the wormhole so the Ruha's scanning instruments won't work on it.
Huh, Skippy said thoughtfully. Could we do that?
Let me think about it, Joe. I would need to move the wormhole to keep it centered in the mock-up, and the Dutchman would need to be a long way from the mock-up to keep us hidden. Although, data transmission through the wormhole is instantaneous, so signal lag would not be an issue. As long as the Ruhar didn't move the mock-up really fast, I could easily keep the wormhole centered in it, and I can project a stealth field through the wormhole also, to prevent the Ruhar from detecting the event horizon.
What is an event horizon?
Never mind that. Let me guess what your monkey brain is thinking. We create a mock-up here aboard the Dutchman, and I install one end of a micro-wormhole in it. The other end stays wrapped around a power conduit aboard the ship. We fly the mock-up down to Paradise in a stealth dropship, bury it, and let the Ruhar dig it up. They see that it is apparently generating impressive amounts of power, and they go bananas digging up Paradise to find another one.
That could work, Joe.
The only problem I see is that we could never leave. The Flying Dutchman and I would have to remain near Paradise forever.
No, Skippy, we can shut down the power tap at some point and go back to Earth.
Won't the Ruha realize the scam at that point?
No.
Skippy, you're thinking like a super smart AI. You need to think like a meat-brained biological trash bag. When it is time for us to leave, you increase the power throughput and keep increasing it until the wormhole collapses. That should destroy the mock-up, right?
Quite thoroughly, yes.
Won't the Ruha be suspicious of why their priceless power taps suddenly went haywire?
No,
because like any other biological trash bags, they will not be able to resist screwing with their new toy. They're going to try to scan it and adjust it and try to figure out how it works, and when it breaks, they're going to blame themselves for screwing with it. Trust me on this. If something is working fine and you screw with it and then it breaks, you will assume it broke because you screwed with it. Then you hope you can blame it on somebody else.
Damn, being biological is complicated.
However, while you were blah 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 talking, I analyzed the psyche of the Ruhar and I must conclude that you are correct. There will be much second-guessing and recriminations about why their shiny new toy broke, but they will blame themselves. Then they will become even more determined to make up for their egregious screw-up by retaining control of Paradise and finding more Elder goodies. Joe, I am completely impressed. Blown away, even. This may be the most diabolical idea your incredibly devious mind has cooked up yet. A brilliant career as a criminal mastermind awaits you after you are done playing soldier. Tell me, please, because I want to understand how you think up ideas that my brain can't seem to create. How did you get this idea? I'll explain when we serve mock dogs for lunch later this week. When I explained the idea in a hastily convened staff meeting right after talking with Skippy, everyone was relieved and thrilled, except Sergeant Adams, who always keeps me grounded in reality.
"Sir," she asked, "do I understand this correctly? We left Paradise behind and flew all the way out here, risking our lives to find an Elder power tap that Skippy could fix. Now you tell us none of this would have been necessary if you only had this idea back then?"
Yes. I was suddenly on the defensive.
"Next time, Colonel, can you make your brain work a little faster?"
I smiled. "I can try, Adams, but this is all your fault." With a skeptical tilt of her head, she asked,
"How do you figure that, sir?"
"Because," I said with a grin, "if you hadn't waited so long to give me your grandmother's recipe for mock oyster soup, we wouldn't have come all the way out here." Chotek came to see me in my office about an hour after the staff meeting. Fortunately, I had stopped to shower and put on a clean uniform.
"Colonel, your idea to create a fake Elder power tap is commendable." I waited for him to say "but," because I knew that was coming next. In the staff meeting, he had seemed irritated that he had agreed to send us off on a fool's errand to find a functioning power tap based on my advice, and now I was telling him that had been all for nothing, that if I had really thought through my idea, we would not have needed to leave the Paradise system. "I am concerned that providing only one power tap for the Ruha to find is insufficient. The Ruha know such devices are rare. When the one they find destroys itself, aren't the Ruhar at least somewhat likely to conclude they found the only power tap on Paradise, and that there is nothing else there? In order to make the Ruhar desire to keep the planet, they must think it probable there are other Elder items of value buried beneath the surface."
Crap. Count freaking Chocula actually had a point. A good one.
"Skippy," I asked, "could we make two fake power taps? Can you create and maintain two micro-wormholes?"
"Please, Joe, you insult me." Skippy's voice had a scoffing tone.
"Easy peasy, but I have been listening to your conversation, and it would be a terrible idea to create two fake Elder power taps. The Kristang already found a real power tap when they first came to Paradise, and functioning power taps are exceedingly rare. To find two of them on one planet is astonishing. To find three stretches belief. If the Ruhar found a third functioning power tap, Paradise would become a place worthy of the Theranin and Jirapatha fighting over directly. It might even attract the attention of the Maxalks and Rindaloo, and we must avoid that at all costs. Those two senior species may be able to figure out that our power taps were fake, and someone would start asking awkward questions."
"Got it," I said, with a shrug directed at Chotek. His expression dropped back into the mildly peeved look he usually had when dealing with me. I needed to somehow get this guy on my side.
"Hey, sir, I do agree that we could sweeten the pot. Find something else to induce the Ruha to keep Paradise. We could, I don't know, find or fake some other Elder goodies."
"Goodies?" Chotek wasn't buying into it.
"I'm spitballing," I said by way of explanation. Chotek looked completely confused. A spitball? How is this related to baseball?
No, it's how to explain American slang to a foreigner. Although I had to give an Austrian props for knowing American baseball terms. That expression can refer to a baseball with spit on it. In this case, what I meant was to wad up a small piece of paper, spit on it, and throw it against a wall. Some of the pieces will stick, just like some ideas will stick, will be useful. It's also called brainstorming?
Ah, I understand.
His face brightened. We are going to consider a variety of ideas and hopefully find a set of possibilities that can be further developed into a feasible solution?
Yes, I agreed, thinking that Chotek would be loads of fun at parties.
Not.
So we need to think of something we can get, or fake, that is valuable. Or, the wheels in my mind were spinning, something we already have.
That is a great idea, Skippy said in a mocking tone. Hey, I know. How about we offer them something truly valuable? A box of cereal, personally autographed by the Count himself. What a collector's item.
Skippy, my protest was marred by me choking to unsuccessfully suppress a laugh. It came out my nose and threw me into a coughing fit. Chotek's red face didn't help me regain my composure.
I was not. Even I couldn't tell him it wasn't funny, because it was.
That wasn't called for.
I am terribly, terribly sorry, Skippy said with a chuckle.
He didn't sound sorry at all.
What about, I said slowly.
Oh, crap, Skippy grumbled. Get ready, Chocula. This is where the magic happens. I use the term magic because there is no logical reason for why Joe's brain has ever come up with even one good idea.
Uh-huh, I ignored him.
We have two Elder Comm nodes. The one we picked up when we raided that Krestang asteroid to get our wormhole controller, and the one we took from those scavengers on Newark.
Skippy to the Ruhar or whoever know what a comm node is?
They know that the devices were intended for communications, yes. Joe, comm nodes are not particularly rare in the galaxy, and they are not considered very valuable. And in case you were not paying attention, our two comm nodes do not work.
What if they did?
Damn it! See, this is what drives me absolutely crazy. Skippy fairly shouted in frustration, and the sides of Chotek's mouth curled up in a brief smile. I have all the information that you have. I have way more information than you have. In terms of brain power, my brain is a supergiant star, and yours is a raisin. A small, dried-up, moldy old raisin. I should be able to figure out what you are going to suggest, but I can't. I just can't. Urgh! I hate my life. This is so unfair.
He broke down into gentle, defeated sobbing.
Skippy, I asked, do you want to hear my idea?
Go ahead, he sighed.
The more unique ideas that I hear, the more data I collect for figuring out how your monkey brain works. And when I do, be prepared for utter, abject humiliation, Joe.
I am looking forward to it.
Listen, those comm nodes don't work because they don't connect to the network, or there is no network, right? That's what we're guessing?
Sure, Skippy admitted.
Those two possibilities, or it could be that I don't have the proper network access codes, the collective secret handshake, sort of.
Fair enough. If the comm nodes did work, they would be super valuable, because signals travel between comm nodes instantaneously, and no current species has faster-than-light communications.
Not exactly true, but close enough for the purpose of this conversation. Yes, a working comm node would be a valuable item.
Is your idea a way to make our comm nodes work, Joe?
Because if you could truly do that, I would worship at your feet. I would hate myself until the end of time, but I would do it.
No, Skippy. My idea is to run another scam on the Ruhar. Can you put the two ends of a micro wormhole inside our two comm nodes? That way a signal going in one comm node would travel faster than light to the other one. We could put one comm node on Paradise and have the other, floating out in space somewhere in the Paradise system. That would make it real obvious to the Ruhar that the signal transit time is instantaneous.
Ooh, another thought hit me.
And we should have the two comm nodes activate and start pinging each other at the same time the Ruhar uncover the fake power tap. Later, when we blow up the fake power tap, the comm nodes will stop working at the same time.
I sat back in my chair, pleased with myself.
Would that work?
See, Chocula, Skippy said.
I said it before that Joe is an evil genius and I meant it.
Joe, that is a brilliant idea.
Damn it. I still have no idea how you dream up stuff that I should have thought of.
Maybe my deviousness subroutine is offline.
Yes, Joe, that would work.
Wow. As a bonus, pretending there is a remote connection between the power tap and the comm nodes would set back the study of Elder technology by centuries, and having a backup to the fake power tap would be much more convincing to the Ruhar. That was your idea, Chotek, so your name has just been added to my Skippy Hates You list. I grinned, and to my surprise, Chotek was beaming with pride. He reached across the table to shake my hand. My understanding, Chotek addressed Skippy with a wink to me, is that your list is a rather exclusive club. So please, Mr. Skippy, hate me as much as you like. Damn, maybe Chocula was human after all. We flew straight back to Paradise. Then I went down to the surface in a dropship with Skippy, Desai, Major Smythe, and a half-dozen special forces. Smythe and his team planted our Mach power tap and one of our Mach comm nodes near a Ruhar-controlled projector one night. We had a brief moment of anxiety when we thought Smythe had been detected, but it was a false alarm. Back in the dropship, Skippy confirmed everything was ready, so we waited and waited. We waited for the Ruhar to notice the fabulous goodies that were right on their doorstep. Damn, those hamsters could be dense sometimes.